Talk.
International correspondent.
Katie McDonald, all the way from Budapest, Hungary. How are you doing this morning?
I'm pretty well, Abs, awake. How are you?
Well, you know what? I'm happy. I'm happy yet also confused at the same time. Happy because Kaizer Chiefs, Amakhosi, are the champions.
Oh.
Yes, we made it. We made it. We made it. We made it. I guess a formidable opponent. I will have to mention though, Katie. I'll have to put it out there. But also, Katie, are you there? Are you still with me? Now,
I'm here.
We are also asking the question, though, on our show. I know you won't be able to answer it. South Africa just has something with police commissioners. We just have this ability to choose, you know, these characters that are always involved with scandals. And I don't know why we do that. Do we do it on purpose? Or is it a question of we're trying to put the guy that will not ask too many questions in the highest office? Okay, but I'm done with troubling you with South Africa's issues. Let's talk about the EU chiefs. What's the latest coming out of there?
Yeah, well, they have their own issues. You know, Brexit, which I have to say to many people on the ground here is just, oh my gosh, yeah, when is it going to happen? You know, blah, blah, blah. But Juncker, excuse me if I mispronounced it again, but the EU chief, he gave his annual State of the European Union address to the EU Parliament. And the gist of it was, well, you know, sorry for you, Britain. You're going to regret that you voted for Brexit, but the EU is going to move on, you know, stronger and better than ever. And although the British exit might have been sad and tragic at the time, he feels that the wind is back in the EU's sails, and that's a quote, and that countries are knocking on Brussels' door to do business with the European Union. So essentially, he's kind of like, you know, we're going to keep going, we're going to get better. It's going to be a stronger union, a more united union. Now, his speech, Abs, has provoked mixed response. There are those that say he's essentially in la-la land. He's kind of dreaming. And Nigel Farage, the UKIP leader, he essentially said that, you know, the union's learned nothing from Brexit. They're going to continue to centralise and go along the path to what he referred to as an undemocratic union. And that's one of the main criticisms of the EU, its inflexibility when it comes to taking into account, you know, the needs of individual nations. It's kind of that all-for-one and one-for-all mentality that causes ructions here. And Abs, if you speak to people of, you know, various European states, that it's a similar feeling. You know, they say that the economic reasons for the union are viable and just, but this bringing of people together in other ways and a lack of accountability when it comes to, you know, individual needs of a nation and the people, it's just more divisive than than it should be. So, yeah, that's it. You know, State of the European Union address.
And you also talk about Russia being hit by a false bomb threat.
Yeah, this is mysterious. This is really mysterious. So this is a report that's come out of the official Russian news agency, and they cited an unnamed source in the emergency services that basically said that Russian authorities had to evacuate, I don't know, around 50,000 people and dozens of buildings in Moscow and also in other cities this week because of a deluge of anonymous calls claiming that there were bombs planted. So they've had about 100 bomb threats, Abs, and all of them up to this point have turned out to be false. So the big question is who, what, and why? I mean, yesterday they had to evacuate 3 of the main train stations in Moscow, a very big department store near Red Square, and more than 20 other buildings. So, yeah, they're not too sure where these hoaxes are coming from, except for the fact that they think that they've originated in the Ukraine. And that's a country with which Russia's got very strained, tense relations, you know, after they rebelled against, pro-Russian party in Kiev and so on. But yeah, so mysterious bomb threats.
And then, Katie, here I was thinking to myself, you know, I've seen it all, I've heard it all. You can't tell me anything new. And a robot had a concert.
Yeah. Can you work that one out? Why would you want to have a robot conduct an orchestra? Apart from the fact that I suppose it's a challenge to create the robot to conduct the orchestra.
Why?
I know. Because don't you think one of the beauties or the wonders of watching an orchestra is it's the conductor himself? You know, his fluidity and his movements and all of that. But anyway, you know, this is a concert that's just been held in Pisa. And it's a world first, apparently, because this particular robot conducted the orchestra. It's a Swiss-designed one called Yumi, and it's a world first because a robot has conducted an orchestra before, but I take it this is a different level of robot. So he's basically this two-armed machine, and he was designed to mimic the movements of a particular conductor, Andrea Colombini. And, yeah, he's this little thing. You see this picture of this tiny robotic thing on a stool conducting this orchestra. But as Colombini, the conductor, said, you know, there's no way it can replace the sensitivity and emotion of a conductor because it has no soul. It's just an arm, not the brain, not the heart. But, yeah, robotic conductors.
Yeah, Katie, okay. I suppose, you know, it goes to those fears that soon enough, robots will be taking over.
Yeah, we're all replaceable.
They can't replace me.
Oh, I'm so glad you've got a good sense of self.
Katie McDonald. Thank you so much, Katie McDonald. We'll chat again next week. A very good morning to you.
We will indeed. Have a great end of week and weekend.
Thank you so much. Thank you to Katie McDonald all the way from Budapest, Hungary.